This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Drive underway in the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by National RX in Farragut, where we will be this time tomorrow kicking it. Old school, getting ready for the weekend. Here's Jay Miller. Friday.
Up first, Tennessee will take on Mississippi State in 3 hours on the SEC Network. So we're actually on TV tonight.
Bring it on, Mississippi State.
That people pay for.
Come get you some.
Come get it all.
Dolander going tonight for the Vols.
You wanting to stand in that batter's box, Russ, with Dolander dealing on you?
Rather stand in there.
We get our swag
with him
back
than Joyce.
Oh, there's no way I would stand in there.
What, you'd be like Henry Rowan Gardner standing at the back corner your first time at bat?
Nah, I wouldn't stand anywhere near somebody throwing something over 100 miles an hour that could conceivably.
I give you a batting helmet. You wouldn't stand in that box. $100,000.
No.
$1 million.
I'd do it for $50 on a full tank of gas.
Yeah, we know you work cheap. It's noted.
Worst negotiator in the history of The Drive. Yeah,
he's like
Jake Miller.
He's like Kramer. I'll take it. No, man. It'd have to be a lot of money, dude. I'd be terrified. Because it happens.
Eyes, it's, man. Yeah.
You close your eyes?
I guess so, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, like, I mean, if I'm crazy enough to go ahead and do it, I'm going to keep my eyes open. Watch for the visual effect. I'm not swinging. I ain't going to try and embarrass myself.
I'll swing at it.
The worst part would be just the anticipation, just like watching him get into his wind-up or stretch or whatever.
I'll tell you another one then.
Here it comes. Oh, my God.
My favorite is Sewell because of that wacky, like, 70s style he's got where he gloves way out in front of him. He's kind of gangly looking, and he just throws so much just nasty stuff. Go ahead, Jake. Sorry.
All good. Number two, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2. Tonight at 8:30 on ESPN, Miami enters as a three-point favorite against the Celtics.
Where are we at on Horford and the –
that's what I'm looking up right
now. The DPY.
Marcus Smart is probable.
Horford's cleared to play.
Yeah, we got to have Marcus.
Well, that makes things interesting.
And Horford's what? He's out of protocol?
He's cleared to play for Game 2.
Yeah.
That's a big deal right
that's
there.
That's a huge deal. Look, Grant just got tired, man. Like, that's
– well, dude, I mean, he was what?
Most he's played probably
36
since
hours off playing. I mean, he played a lot of minutes in Game 7. And how many did he play the other night? Like 35? 40?
Yeah. Played a lot of minutes.
And he got in foul
What's
trouble.
The line tonight?
Miami 3.
It was like 1.5 Game 1, right?
Yeah.
So it's gone up with – I guess that was just – they were so dominant Game 1, it kind of – scared bettors away from Boston.
Pretty much. But number three, Alabama coach Nick Saban singled out Texas A&M for, quote, buying its top-ranked recruiting class. Nick Saban saying, I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, and likeness. We didn't buy one player, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. It's tough.
Now, do we know that all of A&M's signing class, that every player that signed with them has an NIL deal in place? Is that
no,
is there any way to confirm that?
The only thing that we know is that they supposedly spent $30 million on this past recruiting class.
They came and got Walter Nolan right out from Powell.
And
they signed more 5-stars this recruiting class than I think I saw it on somebody put a statistic up. It was an Alabama fan. They went back and looked.
I was like, number one defensive back here, number one defensive
no,
back
but
there.
They signed more 5-stars in this one class than they had the past 3 or 4 years combined.
Yeah.
And notice, Jimbo said they didn't break any state laws or anything like that. He didn't say these guys did not get money before they played for us here at Texas A&M. He's been real cagey about it.
Yeah.
So, but Matt Wyatt was right. What was it he said? We saw two sitting head coaches, one of them, you know, the elder statesman of the sport, take shots just publicly at each other. This has never really gotten here. Can you remember anybody had ever gotten this far, Russ? I mean, Spurrier and Fulmer kind of.
That was always tongue-in-cheek and barbs, and this went to DEFCON 1 today. And it's interesting. The other interesting thing, and this was so well put, Matt Wyatt's such a good guest, man. We ought to have him on more often. But he said Greg Sankey has been doing Mark Emmert's job for a while now.
And that I was think good.
That's a good way of putting it. And I just wonder if those guys are not all going to show up in Destin here in a week and a half or whatever without some groundwork being laid, because they are going to be in a room together, man. And Jimbo's up there talking about, he called me, but I'm not taking his call. I'm done with that guy. I mean, Jimbo is such a grandstander. Like, I realize you got to stand up and defend your honor and everything, but I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I wasn't buying it. I wasn't buying the sincerity today.
Me either, but and it makes it worse because I've always found him to be kind of a just thoroughly despicable person. But Saban took such a shot at him last night that, I mean, here we are. I'm kind of – I sided more with Jimbo than I ever thought I would on this deal.
Really?
All he had to do was walk
your
up
team Jimbo?
I wouldn't say team Jimbo, but I'm more willing to –
if we put the poll in the field, our audience would go team Jimbo, right? Just
oh, you know, yeah.
Like, they wouldn't even consider it the substance.
Yeah,
they would just say, Alabama bad, team Jimbo.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, I saw it earlier. Like, make no mistake. I mean, Alabama is the evil empire in the SEC.
All Jimbo had to do was go up to the podium and say recruiting has been. has been good.
We're working like heck.
And number four, NBA has returned to state-run TV in China. After nearly a three-year ban, it was a quiet return, with hardly a word from New York or Beijing trumpeting the apparent end of the bitter conflict.
See, all going back to the Houston guy's comments about, I don't even remember, what did he say?
It was basically talking about the Chinese government and, I don't even remember at this point.
Authoritarian state they are?
Well, he wasn't wrong.
No, he voiced support for like some protest in Hong Kong or Singapore.
That's
or
what
something.
It was.
Yeah, and then LeBron told him, "You don't know what he's talking about." It's like, no, actually, LeBron, you don't know what you're talking about, bro. And next thing we know, no more NBA in China until today. At long last, the good people of China, their problems are all over. They can watch the National Basketball Association
on state run.
I've got a take here, but it's just kind of an every man take.
There's
on
a
this.
Disclaimer for okay. a bear. Okay, what do you got?
It has nothing to do with the awful, oppressive Chinese government regime.
Oh, this could be interesting.
Okay, I must say that is it wrong for me to be happy for the guy who's living in China who's a schmuck like me that just wants to watch some basketball at night after he gets off work?
No, good for them.
I am happy that like. Fans are getting
people
watch
who
again.
Live in an unfree society should have as much freedom as possible.
I want them to, I'm happy that
I wish I could snap my fingers and like rid the world one child policy. They're not people starving in caves. There's not dudes living in like a 4-foot by 4-foot bamboo cages somewhere. But having the NBA is a start. Having NBA versus no NBA, that's good. I'll take incremental progress.
That and it's the world's, you know. They like basketball a lot over there. seriously.
Yao Ming is their hero.
I mean, they are intent basketball fans.
Oh, good.
If it wasn't for Yao Ming, Chinese basketball probably would not be as popular as it is. Like, we've had some Tennessee Vols play in the Chinese Basketball Association.
I love it when the Asians get into American sports. Remember when Nomo came over in the 90s and was pitching? And, like, every time Hideo Nomo pitched for the Dodgers in the 90s, the world would stop in Japan. It would be like 3 a.m. and people would just be filling public squares watching Dodgers games.
Well, because Japanese crazy baseball. I mean,
it's Nomo!
And that was the first. Who was the first? Was he the very first one? Because remember, it was always like guys went over and played in Japan, but you never saw a lot of Japanese players playing in them.
Nah, he was the first one I remember.
Ichiro was another one.
Ichiro came after him, and then
everybody loved
Daisuke.
They take their baseball serious over there.
And now it's we got this Ohtani guy,
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh man,
have y'all ever seen the Japanese baseball stadium that's in a dome?
Mm-mm.
It's probably one of the coolest parks that you'll ever see.
Well, I know you haven't seen. What? The Tom Selleck classic, Mr. Baseball?
Mr. No. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball. But you need to.
Could that movie come out today?
It's fantastic.
Or would it get canceled?
Everything would get canceled. Who cares about the cancelers?
We're going to get canceled eventually.
That was a really, really good movie, wasn't it?
It was really good.
I haven't watched that in years.
I mean, it shouldn't get canceled because, like, as I recall, it had a very wholesome message about breaking down barriers, accepting other societies. Because remember, he goes over there and he doesn't give a damn about Japanese culture. Remember, he jumps in the bath and like, oh no, you must wash first.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's just like the quintessential ugly American.
Yeah.
But then what happened? He fell in love with a beautiful Japanese girl whose very conservative Japanese father did not approve of his daughter dating Mr. Baseball.
That's right.
But eventually, those barriers broke down, and Tom Selleck and the older Japanese businessmen realized that they're both human beings. They have more in common than their racial and ethnic barriers would suggest. It's a love story at the end of the day.
It's a classic.
I would say if more people would look to the Tom Selleck classic, Mr. Baseball, if it's required viewing across the world, all of our problems would be over. I don't think that's too far a jump.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Maybe it's a little bit far. But anyway, that is the top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by National RX. We'll be out there tomorrow in Farragut. Beautiful Farragut. Looking forward to it. We have T-Fair with us, Trey Wallace, the normal Friday crew. And we'll be getting you ready for big sports weekend with Tennessee baseball wrapping up its regular season. You got the NBA playoffs in full swing. And you've got Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher going at it publicly. Little brouhaha, little tiff. And that's interesting, man. That is interesting that those guys would choose to go DEFCON 1 so quickly.
Y'all want to send me down to Destin? Do live coverage of it if it sure does come into a fight.
Yeah. I mean, if you're come up with the money, yeah.
Hey,
you're asking the two of us if we're going to pay for you to go.
Hey, hotel and lodging.
You
want to
send me? I want to send you
lodging.
I'll put you in first class mail, buddy.
Just give me
got
50 bucks for gas.
Box out there.
Give me 50
wedge
bucks for
cheese,
gas.
Little lantern.
I got some MREs.
Is it a big giant wooden box? We'll just mail you down there.
No, man, that's. That's wild. Jimbo was not having it. Can you imagine?
How would you cover? I mean, would you play it straight? Sorry, buddy.
No, I'm not. I'm considering your thing. I don't know. If you're Jimbo, like, how would you play it?
Yeah. And then being around something like that, like if
traditionally the way to play it is you release a statement and you say, we have done everything by the book. We are committed to following NCAA rules as written, and we are confident that we are not in violation of NCAA rules. We take them very seriously here at Texas A&M. That's what you usually do in that situation.
This was very personal, though, for some reason.
Oh, this was like grandstanding. I still think it's all recruiting. I think it's just he realizes that he's hit a button. This is their thing. Just like Tennessee, we used the NIL thing to land Nico Iyama pajamas. and they used it to land the number one signing class last year. This is the way that guys like Jimbo and Heupel can catch up to Alabama. We've been wondering, like, what are we really just waiting on Saban to die before anybody else can have any other fun in this sport? It's like, no, here's a way. Here's a way you can fast-track your program to success and not have to worry about the NCAA doing it. I mean, we tried this with Jeremy Pruitt, and there was a price to be paid.
I mean, that's
cornbread.
I think that's different because we weren't doing it the Jeremy Pruitt way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't the way that teams have gotten away with it over the years.
Well, we're essentially doing the same thing now. We're just laundering the money through an NIL collective so that it can be
instead of
NCAA legal.
Yeah, I feel like the people that are doing it are professional and really sharp people now, unlike Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, what's the difference? At the end of the day, you're still filtering money to people. I guess they have to pay taxes on it. And
well, yeah, I mean, the tax part about it and the whole part about it that makes it legal. You go through all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
But at the end of the day, we're still funneling large amounts of
money.
Oh,
we're still paying kids to come to school to play football. It's total pay for play.
It's the same concept. And now we could just do it, and Texas A&M is doing it, and Miami, and even Jackson State. Now, the Jackson State thing is interesting because Deion Sanders comes out, and like my reading of it was he was saying like, he was playing the race card. He was like, I don't have to pay black kids to come to a HBCU. That maybe I misread that, but that was my takeaway.
And really?
Yes. Was that not yours?
Mm-mm.
Yes, it was. Stop. You think Miss Terry was some kind of allusion to an old plantation mentality, and then you read Deion Sanders' quote yesterday, and the first thing you think is like he's not talking about race?
Did he put this out on Twitter?
Okay. You want to pretend? You go ahead and pretend. I'm going to live here in Realityville. Is it at all ridiculous to assume that the nation's number one defensive back, who could go to Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida State, wherever, Clemson, Georgia, is it ridiculous to assume that he would not go you could say any HBCU. If you want to take race out of this, you could say, like, he wouldn't go to Furman or Chattanooga or ETSU, a school like that, unless he was getting paid to do so. I don't feel like that's ridiculous, is it?
No.
Like, you're going to tell me that the allure of playing for Deion Sanders in Jackson, Mississippi is so great and so strong that he couldn't deny it, man. I don't want, and he's going to do it for free.
He ain't doing it for free.
I don't want the free cards and the status that comes along with being an SEC football player. I would rather work in anonymity, toil in Jackson, Mississippi, playing for primetime, playing against Bethune-Cookman and Jacksonville State and whoever else is on their schedule, like just for free?
No, absolutely not.
And I know the young man has come out today and said, well, if I got paid, why is my mom still living in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids? And I don't know, man. I would say I don't know your situation. I don't know why that is. All I know is, like, I don't think it's racist to assume that you're going there because you're getting paid. Just like I would assume that if you went to Samford or ETSU or
UT Martin,
that you would go, you'd have to have some reason to turn down a path at Alabama or Clemson or Georgia to go there. But anyway, maybe I guess we won't be seeing
all
one
that,
of those Saban,
why would he?
I guess we won't be seeing more of those Aflac commercials that we saw over TV. Yeah, I guess that's over.
Yeah, I mean, he said, I made $1 million? Yet my mom is still living in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids. listen, if you gave me $1 million right now, the only thing I'm able to afford is a three-bedroom house.
Well, that's a good point. $1 million is not a ton, and it might be one of those things, just like I'm sure the Spire folks have told Nico Yama Pajamas, look, dude, here's your deal. Be smart about it. Don't go flaunting it, all right? Just because you got this money doesn't mean you have to spend it all right now. There's going to be a lot of eyes on you. I'm sure, like, that's what they told this Hunter kid is.
Set aside some for tax.
Go get yourself a car.
Yeah.
Make sure mom and your family has enough food and clothes, and take care of the basics with this money, and set the rest of it in a savings account and live off that while you're at Jackson State. And we're going to coach you up, and then hopefully you make the league. But I'm sorry, I'm not buying that he's going there just because Primetime is such a dynamic recruiter and such a great coach, and like race has zero to do with that.
No, it doesn't. I finally found his statement.
Quickly, I convinced Bear of that. And then you've got the Miami.
I read the statement finally, and then you talk for 5 minutes. Spelled it all out for me. You're pretty good at that.
You've got the Miami angle. We haven't heard from Larinaga yet and all this. But, I mean, it's obvious. This stuff is obvious. And, again, this gets back to what – this is why – and maybe I'm the minority here. But I'm on Saban's side in this. Is it ridiculously, jaw-droppingly hypocritical for him to suggest that they don't buy players? Yes. But everything else he said about what was going on and how everybody else is buying players – is true. And here's the thing. I keep saying what Saban said is true. We just don't want to hear it from him. What Dabo said is true. We just don't want to hear it from him. If we can't take hard truths in America. We don't like it from our leaders, political leaders, sports leaders, business leaders. We just want to be told what we want to hear. Just like make it nice. Be nice for it. Like don't tell it. Ooh, don't. Why'd you have to say that? What was that movie from where the guy said, man, why? Oh, that was from, you ever seen Mad Men? There's a scene where Don Draper is hanging out with the hippies.
Yeah.
And goes on some big speech about how it's the straight man's world out there. Not straight, gay, like straight, the businessman's world. You hippies.
Yeah.
You're
like a normie.
Sunshine, happy trails, vision of the world. I'm sorry. Maybe it should be that way, but it's not going to be that way because people. And he walks out, and this hippie guy says, man, why'd you have to say that? It's like Saban. If you don't want to hear it from him, and you don't want to hear it from Dabo, who do you want to hear it from? Is it like at a certain point, we have to put aside our sports hatred for some of these people and say, okay, that's true.
Honestly,
yeah,
I think he may be too old. Spurrier,
oh,
just because I think he's would be blunt enough, but also he's always been people might not have liked what he had to say, but he's shoots it pretty straight and he's a pretty smart guy. That was that whole deal with him and Saban when they asked him if he thought Saban was the best coach ever. And his response was he's the best recruiter.
Let's make it the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question du jour. Who are you team Saban or team Jimbo?
And, I'm really and why? Neither.
Oh, you have to pick a side. You have to pick a side. Gun to your head. Who you jumping in the boat with? You got the Saban boat right here, the Jimbo boat right there.
Probably Jimbo because we'll mentally dominate him.
No, I'm jumping to that Saban boat because somehow, some way, he's getting me back to land, man. Jimbo would just be paddling around in a circle. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this. You know, lost in all that Saban Jimbo drama.
Yeah.
Jimbo called Nick Saban a quote, narcissist today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like he's Sigmund Freud up there or something.
Oh, yeah.
Called him a czar.
Called it, referred the whole God thing.
Yeah, that was weird, too.
Dude,
yeah.
He was
He was on a heater.
He was, what do the kids call it? Marcus IRL mad?
He's asking Marcus. Like, Marcus is our link. The guy with the Monty Python tattoo is our link to the younger generation now?
Sure.
You got two guys here that aren't even remotely close to the guys that are coming up. We're both same age, 27. Oh. Yeah.
I thought Marcus was a lot younger.
I just look a lot younger.
But he was. My point is still there that he was. He was unhinged. Maybe Matt Wyatt's right. Maybe Jimbo was unhinged.
Speaking of unhinged, let's bring on Haji. Oh,
good Lord.
I don't know why I went with that as a segue. Yeah, it's just hanging out there. There's absolutely nothing unhinged about John Hodge. The most laid-back dude you'll ever meet.
A buddy of ours and welcome, you know, not going to get his feelings hurt over a gratuitous cheap shot.
Hello, Hodge.
You're a little psychic, I think, actually. If you'd have seen me yesterday, you would have said, look at this maniac. But anyway, it's not all good. Hey, you're going to, make a choice. I know it's good for radio, but... You know, hey, Bear, would you rather have a root canal or a hemorrhoidectomy?
Root canal.
Really? Hemorrhoids that bad?
I've never had that procedure done.
I have no experience, yeah.
I told there's a guy. I didn't either even know about it until last week. A friend of mine, an older gentleman, told me about his, and it was oof.
I mean, I did survive the Pruitt era.
Yeah,
I can't imagine it's much worse than that.
Yeah, it's not for daytime radio, really, but it's not good. But I think it's actually, it's more, it's not as invasive as it used to be, apparently, from when he had it. But, yeah.
Good.
Imagine having a bunch of stitches down there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and now you got to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Haji,
he said,
can you believe these guys? I mean, Saban and Jimbo, these are supposed to be dignified leaders of multi-million dollar operations over there, and here they are going at each other in the media like a couple of schoolgirls.
Yeah, young ones. Yeah, just terrible children. Yeah, you'd put them in the corner if they were doing that in your kindergarten class.
It's like, guys, you have both been buying players. You were buying players together at LSU back in the day. You guys have turned this into an art form over the years, and now it's legal. Now you guys can do it. This is the, you guys should be happy. You don't have to hide this anymore. You can do everything out in the open, and you guys are acting like the world is falling apart.
The two biggest cheaters are upset with each other, and everybody else is, you know, getting a piece of the action now. It's just ridiculous. Alabama, Saban said, they bought their class, right? And we didn't pay any of them. Give me a break. They've been paying players since the 60s.
Oh, man.
Stupid. There's no way to choose from the two most hated coaches in the conference. How are you going to choose one?
And we see these guys deny stuff like this all the time and talk about how they do it by the rules and everything, but they I've never seen anybody do it with that condescending tone that we saw to Nick Saban last night, where
the last time he put a microphone in his hand.
He's acting like he's coach at Harvard or something. Talk about their graduation rates. It's like, dude, graduation rates? You're the head football coach in Alabama. Like, you know, people are watching this right now. How dumb do you think we are?
That's what really fires me up is about how stupid he thinks everybody is that's listening to him. And he'll say it was out of context. It wasn't meant for the public, right? Because it was a Birmingham deal, right?
Yeah. He's given some kind of statement to ESPN. He's tried to clarify what his remarks are. He's saying he wasn't saying that Texas A&M bought their whole class, even though, and then the next sentence he's like, even though they bought their whole class, but they did it legally.
Yeah. Jake, can you read this? This is Saban's statement. Can you read this in your Saban voice right here? Yeah. Turn your mic on. That would probably help.
Yeah, that'd help. Yeah. Look, I should have never singled anybody out, and I wasn't saying that either one of those schools did anything wrong. I didn't intend to mean they were buying players, but more that you're able to buy players now, and it's totally illegal. You're just using name, image, and likeness to do it. What I'm saying is it's not good for the game, and it's only going to get worse unless there's some federal legislation.
The latest from Coach Saban today, Haji. How does that strike?
Yeah, it's only good for if it's him paying players, not everybody else. he doesn't care about the game. He cares about his team winning every game, and that's it. Well, it is going to be must-see TV. What's that date? What's the date of that one?
Oh, man.
The rematch. It's going to be fun to watch. I hope let's put them in a squared circle before the game or something.
Well, they're going to be meeting face-to-face next week in Destin.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you like to be a fly on that
one? All of a sudden, maybe that's more interesting than media days, actually.
Yeah. $1,000 to any media guy who can sneak a camera in that room. Get me. Can we bug that room? Where's Mike Ehrmantraut when you need him? Breaking Bad reference.
Yeah, to get the truth. See it.
Wow. Strange times in college football. Haji, we're watching the PGA in here. Rory Mack shooting a 65 today. It's been, 9 years since he won his last major?
Yeah, and he hadn't it's his lowest opening round in a major since 2011. Last time he opened with a 66 or better in a major, he's done it three times. He looked like he was dialed in with putter.
Yep.
You know, when I see a lot of people having trouble maybe with the speeds, but it's hard to tell because when, on TV, they're only going to show you the ones that go in usually, but when they show the other, the player, then you don't know what's going to happen. But I've seen some not very good speed so far, but not as breezy this morning. That was the time to go out a little. Now the scores are still pretty low. We got 26 under par, 26 players under par. 18 of those were this morning. So what's that? How my math would be eight, maybe something like that. Eight players under par in the afternoon. So
you think
I'm gonna keep an eye on that to see how the split goes.
You think that short gump Justin Thomas has got anything?
Yeah, because he's one of the top iron players. His strokes gained approach, meaning how close you hit it with your approach shot. He's up there in the top four, and Zalatoris is first or second. So you see how that paid off, and obviously Rory's just crushing it with the tee shots. He had they have two hole, one on each side. They measure for the long distance statistics. 378 and 369 for 373 average. Not too shabby.
Was watching. I got up late today. Was watching the very beginning of the tournament with my morning coffee, and old Tiger, man, just storms out of the gates. I think he's 2 under through five, and I'm thinking, all right, here we go. And then evidently the rest of the round was just awful. He ends up plus four, I think. He's
probably not going to make the cut.
But he limped off. I saw his tee shot on his last hole. Like, it looked like he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, he was wincing a couple of times on tee shots and iron shots. So he's going to try to get out there tomorrow, but I agree with you, Barry. He's probably not going to make the cut. It's going to be hard. There's going to be too many people in front of him to pass him. And they're going to go in the afternoon tomorrow. It's 90 today and tomorrow, and then rain, I guess, tomorrow evening sometime and in the Saturday morning, and then 72 for the high and 67 for the high on Sunday. So it's going to be chilly in the morning. If he was to make the cut, it would be very uncomfortably cool for him. I mean, this is kind of what we expect to see at Augusta, right, with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be a little and having a little more trouble this week than he did at Augusta. But, he probably won't play again until the Open at St. Andrews. Speaking of 2 under, how about John Daly? In his little convertible golf cart going 2 under through the first 5 holes. And then
you talk about a guy who needs to walk the course. Sorry, not that shaming here, but like that guy, I mean, he is so awesome looking right now. Just a big fat guy with a big white beard and the loud pants and shoes
loud
and everything.
Clothes.
He's the one person that I can look at and be like, hey, buddy, probably ought to get in shape with a straight face.
Hey, Haji, how many Diet Cokes do you think he's had today?
Well, it's probably not as many as Miller Lights now since he's been done for a few hours. But
I figured
bunch,
he'd be into the bourbon by now.
Bunch.
Is he golf's Keith Richards? Like, he's just indestructible.
Yeah.
He can do all that stuff and get away with it.
He's had a couple of heart attacks, hasn't he? I know he's had at least one.
Don't speak that into – you talking about
– Daly.
Guitar player? Oh, no, I don't think so. He's had some troubles.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the healthiest dude.
He bogeyed four last five. That's more of a, instead of a golf cart, that's like a Type 2 mobile, I guess, at this point, right?
Oh, man. Does he drive that thing, or does he have a driver?
He drives it.
You think that guy's letting anybody drive him around? It's Arkansas. He's going to drive.
My favorite John Daly moment is when he's on camera, barefoot in a pair of blue jeans, shirtless, and smoking a cigarette while teeing off.
I saw one the other day. Yeah, it was in a golf cart, and he had at least a 30 pack in the back of the cart that he was just cracking open, and with his cigarette in one hand, Miller Lights in the other. I believe it was Bladder Cancer Bear.
Oh man, oh yeah. You would think of all the things to scare you straight, but. Evidently not, but he had a nice round today.
I worry about his weight more than almost anything. I know a lot of old-timers that still can pound the beers, but a little more slender, you know.
Where do you end up? Russ, he had a nice round?
Two over.
Better than Tiger.
He had a good start, too. He was on the leaderboard.
He bogeyed four of his last five. He was two under with five to play.
Maybe that 30-pack was catching up on him.
Yeah.
It happens.
Or he started shaking because he didn't have them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But it's a major. This is where Tiger won at the PGA in 07. It was a little shorter. They'd had a redesign, so the greens are the fairways are a little wider, fewer less trees out there. But the greens are they have some they're more shaved areas around the green. So if the ball gets close to the edge, it's going to roll down and leave, you know, some tough, short game shots. So it's going to be the guys that have the sharp, short game are going to be good. But the greens are a little bit slower because of the undulation. There'd be no way to keep the ball in the greens if they had them too quick. So they're a little slower than certainly Augusta or they will be at the U.S. Open.
Haji, good stuff, my man. We got to do it again tomorrow. The PGA Championship, who will hoist the Wanamaker trophy? Just wanted to say Wanamaker once during this segment.
That's a great trophy name.
It is.
Isn't it?
It's good. Golf has some good trophies.
He started the PGA of America, so why not name it after him? But, hey, how about the first question that Rory was asked when he got in the media tent? What do you think it was?
Did they miss Mickelson at the dinner?
No. You know, all the talk has been about his slow start in majors. He shot 63 at Augusta on Sunday, but he's shot himself out of it in the first round. That's the problem. But so the guy says, so 65 in the first round, is that the start you were looking for? He said, no, I'd rather shot 74. I mean, what do you say to a guy? I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to write stories, and that's the first question you ask. So don't feel bad about anything good.
Love dumb questions at press conferences.
Gotta love them.
Coach,
all right,
do you like winning? Yeah, it's good. All right, Haji,
yeah,
appreciate you.
The other one, I guess Jordan, maybe Jordan was the one that probably was getting a little too much love after finished having a win and a second in his last two outings. But he's working on a swing change, and he may not be around for the weekend either. The career slam will have to wait. And I guess one for the thumb for Rory will be the theme maybe this week. We'll see. But
all right, Haji, we'll holler at you tomorrow, man. Thanks.
Enjoy it.
John Hodge, the Drive's resident golf guru.
Guru.
Checking in, the guru. All right, so Saban is speaking again. This is like,
Yeah, and this time, this has made it, like, to me, worse.
Really?
Yeah, because he's trying to
apologize without apologizing?
Yeah. He's trying to say he didn't say what he said last time.
Oh, man. I love my
we all saw it. We're all listening, Nick.
I've told this story before, man, and I knew I was in trouble as a parent when my daughter was like, I forget how old she was, like three or so. She was like cruising, you know. She's still learning how to walk and talk and all that stuff. Yeah. And she was up by the TV. She's putting her hands on the TV. And I said, sweetie, don't do that. And she looks me dead in the eye with her hand on the TV and says, I am not doing this. I was like, all right, well.
That is one of your better.
I apologize. I appreciate the boldness of your lie. Like to do it while I'm watching, but we got to work on this. Like you can't say you're not doing something while I'm watching you do that. That's not how this works. Okay, like,
that's a good story.
I'm not doing this. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more after this. All right, we open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show, 546-8200. You want to chime in, now is the time. Take a shot. Russell Bear and Jake back with you.
We got any early data from our poll?
I haven't put it in the field. I mean, do we really need to, like?
No. Oh, I thought you were putting it in the field.
Do we really need to, though?
Probably not.
That'd be a 90-10 poll right there.
Nobody wants to be on Team Jimbo, but there's going to be a lot of people on Team Jimbo, I would think, simply because, I mean, Saban's Darth Vader.
Vol in Birmingham said, and this is regarding the Jackson State kid, he said if he got paid $1 million, not if he got paid. He was admitting he got paid, just not $1 million.
Taxes.
Greg Sankey has put out a statement. He is reprimanded.
Oh.
Nick and Jim. The membership of the Southeastern Conference has established expectations for conduct and sportsmanship that were not met last night nor today.
Mm.
A hallmark of the SEC is intense competition within an environment of collaboration. Public criticism of any kind does not resolve issues and creates a distraction from seeking solutions for the issues facing college athletics today. That's a mouthful. There is tremendous frustration concerning the absence of consistent rules from state to state related to name, image, and likeness. We need to work together to find solutions, and that will be our focus at the upcoming SEC spring meetings.
Sankey said that?
Yeah, that's why Sankey's running the SEC. That's a pretty good statement.
It's a good statement, but nothing's going to get done.
A community of collaboration, is that what he said?
Yeah.
He's a lie.
It's a lot of gobbledygook.
Exactly. He's a lie.
Oh, man. This league.
I know, but then again, I've got a buddy of mine that said he would root for Osama bin Laden to rise from the dead before he'd root for Jimbo Fisher.
That's kind of grim. David says, food for thought, Tennessee plays Alabama in Neyland Stadium the week after this year's Alabama-Texas A&M game.
They're going to put everything they got into that A&M game. They're going to come right up here. Both teams 5-0. And I'm going to stop.
Oh, man. Can you imagine being Hawaii 5-0 again? I don't even care if we lose to Alabama.
Just so they play that A&M the weekend before us.
Yes.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, yeah.
There will be a fight. There might be a full-on brawl.
I mean, y'all want to make Nick Saban mad? Have you not seen this movie before? You won't like him when he's mad. Really? You're going to piss off the College Football Incredible Hulk right now? That's what we want to do? Are y'all insane?
I'm not. Jimbo's the one that went out and
you know he's about to reel off a 30-game win streak or something here.
Jimbo didn't. No, Saban started this. He can try to apologize, but he called people out specifically. You can't say, I shouldn't have called people out.
Well, you, yeah, you can. I mean, he's saying that he shouldn't have named names.
But to act like Fisher's upsetting it, no, Saban's, this is all on Saban. He can call out the practice. Like, I agree with you, but he shouldn't have called out specific people.
I think he really misjudged. That's the thing to me. The only thing, this is the first time where I've ever seen him misjudge a situation.
Yeah.
And do something.
Yeah, that, that's what, that,
an unforced error maybe.
That's why I was in the first segment talking, you know, what's his angle here? Because it's so unlike him to step in it like that.
I can't figure out the angle because this looks really bad. It honestly, I mean, it's kind of like what Sankey, it makes both him and Fisher look terrible. Do you think, here's a question. Do you think Fisher, do you think the AD, do you think Bjork knew that Fisher was going to do that? Or do you think Fisher just called everybody up and said, come on? I mean, there's no way in hell the A&M SID signed off on that deal this morning.
Well, I mean, the SID doesn't have a say in it. But I think Jimbo has a lot of power down there. Yeah, I think he's probably wearing the pants a lot. Now, that's a different AD than the one that hired him. Right, that Woodward guy went back to LSU.
Where was Woodward?
But
I know Byrne Bjork.
Bjork was from Ole Miss.
Okay.
It was Bjork and Byrne and Woodward. These guys, we retread these ADs the way we retread the coaches now.
Did he hire Kiffin?
We just pass him around. I think he did.
He had to think when he got away from Kiffin, he wasn't going to have to be dealing with anything like this morning. I mean, wouldn't you think, like, if you're no longer going to be supervising Lane, you have to think that, you know, in his mind, he's probably thinking, I'm not going to have to deal with anything crazy anymore.
It's a good question, man. I don't know how crazy this is. I think this was just Jimbo. Again, I think this was a recruiting pitch. I think this is just him. This is he's anytime these guys, it's like Mike Gundy's I'm a man rant, remember? I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That was just a completely contrived, like, it wasn't even real what he was screaming about. It was just something like he made up so that he could go out there and paint himself as this defender of the kids. I'm all about the kids and their family. I'm about family. I'm a molder of young men.
Invoking the name of Bobby Bowden was special. That was special.
That was nice. That was a good touch. But I think that's what Jimbo did. He saw this as a chance to go out there and be like, I'm going to apologize on behalf of all the good young men of character and their families that Nick Saban besmirched last night, and all the mamas are going to think I'm so good.
Bobby Bowden's rolling over in his grave.
I was talking to somebody who was on the field before when Walter Nolan went down there for a visit to A&M, and this guy happened to be on the field, and Nolan and his family were down there, and Jimbo Fisher walks up to Walter Nolan's mom and says, hey, don't you worry, we're going to take good care of your baby down here, just laying it on extra thing. He said it was the most cringy interaction he's ever seen.
All those guys are cringy. All that stuff is so cringy.
We're going to take good care of your baby, don't you worry, Mrs. Nolan.
I'd have told him, make sure the check doesn't bounce. It's my money.
You're going to send to me a boy. I'm going to return him to you a man. Yeah. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. These guys, man, they're so creepy.
Educate my wallet with that cash.
They're so creepy. So cringy, these guys. Yeah, that's all Jimbo was doing today, man. It was a big recruiting pitch. Chance for him to get out there and paint himself as –
there is
the defender
that may be true,
family.
But I do think that there was an element of personal.
Yeah, I think Beauregard Kelly is sitting there in Baton Rouge wondering how he can get in on this action right now.
Oh, God. You know, Butch would have already said something.
Oh, God. Can you imagine
Butch
on this?
He'd stuck his nose in this fight and gotten smacked.
We do things the right way all the time here at Tennessee. We're about family.
Dude, he was so goofy. I could see kids taking less money not to play for him.
What, they didn't want Barb's chip dip?
Be kind.
You got a little Butch catching strays on the drive.
Why not? We haven't even gone in on Fulmer yet.
No, we're going. No.
This guy, man. This freaking guy.
We got a barrel ready.
Hour number three of the drive coming up. Jake's got the top five at five. You want to jump in, 865-546-8200 is your number. Quitting time just around the corner. The drive continues next on Fan Run Radio.